97.1 FM Talk. On demand audio. This hour of the Mark Reardon Show is sponsored by Gamma Tree Experts. Your trees deserve the best care. Call Gamma Tree Experts. Follow Mark on Twitter at Mark Reardon KFTK and Instagram at Mark Talk. This is the Mark Reardon Show.
It's been a little while since we've had Governor Mike Parson on. He's going to jump in here in just a moment. Ethan is setting that up on the phone lines. Coming up in a little bit, though, at 525, Erica Sanzi is going to be with me. She is the director of outreach at a group called Parents Defending Education, and this is a Missouri issue down in Springfield where, and you're going to have a lot of this that's going to pop up. You have evidence now that some of the public school officials in Springfield blatantly deceive parents by allowing trans students to hide their gender identity and their preferred pronouns. This is something that I'm expecting to navigate as a father of a 9.5-year-old in the future, but we'll get Eric on. Plus, I have an audio cut of the day. I also want to spend a little bit of time here after our conversation with the governor on Lisha Gale related to the Marcellus Williams case, and we will talk about that as we welcome Governor Parson into the fray this afternoon. Governor Mike Parson, it's been a little while. How are you this afternoon?
Hey, I'm good. I'm good, Mark. Everything's going good as can be expected right now.
Well, the Chiefs are 3-0. I mean, what more do we have to say, right?
And I'll tell you what, they need to do a better job of winning, though. They're this hard on an old guy like me, you know. I sent them a note the other night, a text to the coach, and says, hey, you guys need to win by 10 points. Make my life a little easier.
Can you just give me Andy Reid's number so I can do that at a certain point, too? Would you mind just doing that, you know?
Well, I don't know about that, Mark. I like you, but there is a limit to my kindness.
No, I understand. Well, let's start here. This isn't as, you know, fun to talk about as football, but I think it's important. And there's an execution that's going to take place tonight of Marcellus Williams. This is a case, as you know, that's gotten a lot of coverage here in St. Louis. Lisha Gale, I like to focus on the, you know, you were a law enforcement guy. I like to focus on the victims, Governor, not the murderer. But this was a case, the way I look at it, is he's very guilty. They tried to get him off on a technicality. They claimed there was new DNA evidence. There was no new DNA evidence, and now it's time for him to leave the planet, isn't it?
You know, look, this is a case that's drawn a lot of attention. It's drawn a lot of national attention. But the bottom line is it doesn't change the fact of a brutal murder that occurred and he was convicted of, and he's went through the entire appeals process, and at no time has he been found innocent of any of these crimes. So, it's unfortunate people have this mindset that he's innocent, but there's never been any evidence whatsoever to support that.
So in this particular case, at this point, is the only thing that can stop this the United States Supreme Court?
That would be correct. They could step in if they so choose, but that would be very rare if they did that.
Yeah, so so it is scheduled to take place tonight at 6:00, and I just wanted to make sure that we were all, you know, on point on that. You know, I mentioned something here at the beginning. You're toward the end here of this term, and I know you're still doing your work. I'd like to find out a little bit about your Panama trip that you took, but are you starting to think here about the last couple of months of the term?
You know, I don't think there's any question about that. It's been you know, for the 6.5 years I'll be here when I finish up, there's so many things that have occurred, good and bad. I mean, you know, you've had your worst droughts, your worst floods, you've had civil unrest, COVID-19, train derailments, chemical spills, and just tornadoes on down the list. But we've still been able to manage to keep the state on the right track during all that time. And, you know, we've just had a lot of accomplishments in there. I-70. Our economy, for the most part, is in better shape than a lot of the other states. So there's been a lot of positive things happen, too. But I'm looking forward to going home. I'll be honest with you. I want to end it being governor. I have no desire to be in the political arena any longer. And I just kind of want to leave here with my head up.
Well, I want to ask you, just kind of going back to the legislative session and maybe pushing ahead here with what Mike Kehoe might have to deal with. Obviously, there's been some, you know, issues in the Senate in particular with personalities, et cetera. There are people that don't think that Mike Parson is conservative enough and that was part of the problem in pushing some legislation. This drives me crazy when people play the are you conservative enough game. But how do you know that kind of stuff gets said? How do you respond to that?
You know, you just got to be satisfied of who you are and know what you did. You know, when people say that, I think to myself, I've signed the strongest pro-life legislation in our state's history, the strongest Second Amendment in our state's history. I've cut taxes five times on income tax that no governor or state's history has ever done. We've got the highest revenues we ever had because people are going back to work. And when people say that, it's just like, kind of, what do you base that on? Do you just base it on because you don't like everything that we do? Well, you're never going to have a governor that's going to do everything you like. So, but I'm pretty proud of what's happened. You know, I felt like I've tried to do the best I could and keep my conservative values at the forefront.
You also have to be proud, I would think, about your appointments and how they fared in this most recent election, aren't you?
There's no question. You know, I appointed five statewide candidates since I've been governor, and the only time that's ever been done in our state's history has been one time that somebody's picked one statewide. And right now, at the end of those elections, we're 12-0. I picked Vivek Malik. I picked Andrew Bailey, Mike Kehoe, Eric Schmidt, Scott Fitzpatrick, and all of them have been extremely successful. And I'll tell you, Mark, it wasn't about whether they were my friends or not. It was about what is the future of our state. Those are the people we have on bench. And kind of go back to what you said. You know, which one's the most conservative than the other? If we're fighting over that, I'm not sure what we're fighting about.
Yeah.
I mean, because you just look at the other options you got. I'm still taking anybody that is truly a conservative.
Well, look, I kind of look at it that way, too, which is one of the reasons that I wanted to ask that question. Let me ask you about the border issue. You know, it's interesting. I've told this story a couple of times. The BBC came to town a couple of weeks ago here to St. Louis. They broadcast a show back to England, and they sat down with me and my friend and colleague, Jane Duker, who used to work for a governor, and Bob Holden. And they were asking me about the border issue, why people in Missouri care about the border issue. And I said, first and foremost, I care as an American when I see people coming over the border and flooding it like we have. But obviously, this affects, and we just had a devastating thing happen here in St. Louis, as you know, with a police officer who was killed over the weekend in a DWI crash from a migrant that wasn't allowed in this country. So as you kind of prepare to leave, what would you say to the BBC if they ask you, hey, Governor Parson, Missouri's not a border state. Why do you care about these issues with immigration?
Because the bottom line is just what happened to that officer. Regardless how that person got here, he's not supposed to be here, and he's not supposed to be out there involved in those kind of incidents. And that's why you're trying to protect people, because the bottom line is when you talk over 12 million people coming across the border, coming into our country, they're coming to Missouri. I'm telling you right now, as sure as I'm sitting here, they are coming in some form, some fashion, and we were going to have to deal with the bad side of that issue. And there'll be more incidents like this if we keep allowing them in our country and we keep allowing them in our state.
And so that becomes frustrating for, I think, for you, maybe for me as well, just because if you take a stand against illegal immigration, not legal, but illegal immigration, then somehow you're portrayed as a xenophobic person and bigoted, et cetera.
You know what, Mark? I have did so much to try to help the Hispanic community in the state of Missouri, to put them on commissions, to put them on boards, to listen to their concerns. You know what? They are good people that come here and come here the right way. I think trying to tie them to say, okay, they're all supportive of everybody coming across the border illegal is wrong. And I think a lot of times they get in that box just like I do. And it's not true at all. People that come here legally want other people to come here legally. And as to what the American is made out of, our country's made out of, and to think you can shortcut this process and everything's going to be just hunky-dory, it's not. I'm just telling you right now, we see it all over our country dealing with these problems.
Absolutely. Governor Mike Parson back with us. Tell me about your trip to Panama. You were there a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah, you know what? That was a great trip for me. I wanted to go down there. Our National Guard has been in Panama. Part of their assignment is to guard the Panama Canal, and they've been down there since 1985 that we've helped secure the Panama Canal. So it was great to go down there to visit with the troops and tell them thanks for what they do and how important that Panama Canal is. The other thing that's down there, Kansas City Southern Rail out of Kansas City, they're the ones that run the rail up and down the Panama Canal. They have a train service that goes through there. And so it was really good on there firsthand. And then, again, I'll be honest with you, just to see what kind of blunder our government does sometimes when we give the Panama Canal away. And why we ever did that, is mind-boggling to me.
Well, Governor, thank you so much for jumping on here. I know it's been a little tough to communicate and connect here over the past 6 months or so, and I don't know if we'll connect again before the end of the term, but good luck with everything. And I don't know, I already hit you up for Andy Reid's number. You said no, but do you have any plans for any more Chiefs tattoos? That would be a valid question here.
I don't know. Three-peat would be a big deal is all I want to say. Three-peat would be a big deal, but we'll see. Hey, Mark, thanks for your friendship over the years and for what you do, really getting people the right message and making sure they know the truth. So I appreciate what you do.
Governor Parson, awesome to have you. Thank you so much, and good luck with everything.
All right, we'll see you. Bye.
Always great to have the governor on. I guess I should have asked for, he said all those nice things about me. Shouldn't I get, a proclamation? Isn't that what they call those things?
No, you're supposed to say thank you. Oh. That was awfully nice of you.
I did, but a proclamation would be kind of nice, too. Let me wind this, though, back to a very serious topic, and that is Lisha Gayle. It's not Marcellus Williams. This is not about Marcellus Williams. It's about Lisha Gayle, who was brutally murdered in 1998. She was a reporter at the St. Louis Post-Dispatch. And this case has come up time and time again because with death penalty cases, all the do-gooders out there, they don't care one bit if Marcellus Williams was guilty of stabbing this woman 38 times. They don't care about that. They just are against the death penalty. They want to get him off death row because he's innocent. The problem is he's not innocent. And the death penalty opponents always have that little nagging thing that sticks out because they claim innocence, but they're never innocent. They really aren't. Like maybe one person in the history of time. Maybe two. But not very many. So there's a column that was in the Post in mid-August when all this kind of came into the forefront again. Because as you might remember, in an embarrassing way, Wesley Bell, who I told you and I warned you, he's not going to be much of an upgrade from Cori Bush, ladies and gentlemen. He won't embarrass St. Louis as much as she did, but he's not going to be an upgrade. And for whatever reason, maybe it's because he knew he couldn't prosecute anyone on Mike Brown, and he had to, because he made promises, hey, reopen that case. We couldn't do it because there was no evidence to do it, right? Because nothing happened. It was Mike Brown that was the criminal, not Darren Wilson. But in this case, he wanted to get Marcellus Williams off the death row. So what is he going to do? He's going to file, this motion and that motion. We have new DNA evidence, right? Well, problem is there wasn't new DNA evidence. It was just the prosecutor and the detective that was working on the case. That's where the DNA came from. Oopsie, Marcellus Williams is guilty. So the wife of the Lisha Gayle's husband, which would be a widower, right? Is that what we say? His wife now is named Lori Friedman. And Lori's written in the Post-Dispatch several times about this case because, as she says each and every time, it's the fifth time now that this family tragedy has been revisited, relitigated, and reappeared in the press. She even wrote this in August. She said, "We're exhausted and exasperated," right? So what's going to happen tonight is there's closure. Because they don't have closure. And what she wrote in the Post in August really sums up this case. A well-to-do white woman stabbed to death in her upscale home by a black male perpetrator made Lisha's murder a headline-grabbing case from the beginning with racial, cultural, and social class components. Over the years, though, she wrote, this case has become a national and international news story, a foil for longstanding grievances, a platform for pundits, and a cause celeb for advocates and activists. All these ubiquitous but false statements only ignite partisan passions and cause endless anguish for my husband and Lisha's family. Mm. And she points toward, there was a press conference in Jeff City in August with exonerated former inmates proclaiming Williams' innocence. And it was this made-for-TV moment, but it was completely wrong because she cites a guy by the name of Kirk Bloodsworth, who was one of the exonerees on that day. And there was an op-ed in the Post that said, "I lived Marcellus Williams' story. Missouri must not let it end with his execution." And that piece exerted that the case had a lot of similarities, Kirk Bloodsworth and Marcellus Williams. But she wrote, "No, Mr. Bloodsworth, there are no similarities between your case and this one. You were an honorably discharged Marine. Marcellus Williams was a criminal with more than 16 convictions, including burglary, assault, armed criminal action, unlawful use of a weapon at the time of Lisha's murder." They claim, Bloodsworth and others claim, two unreliable witnesses were incentivized by the prospect of reward money. This is false. One was Williams' girlfriend, who was never offered money in exchange for her testimony. She voluntarily testified anyway, and only after the trial was the decision made to split the reward money between the two witnesses. So that wasn't an incentive. He also said this. DNA testing exonerates him. Does not. We already went over that, right? The DNA testing was inconclusive, and the own expert witness testified that Williams himself could not be excluded from matching the DNA found on the knife. And by the way, the testimony at the trial revealed that he wore gloves during the commission of the crime, and in the affidavit filed with the court, Keith Larner, the prosecutor on the case, the original prosecutor, said the knife handle was not handled in a way that would preserve it for DNA testing. He said that police witnesses, as well as defense attorneys and jurors who were given access to the knife during deliberations, were able to touch it. It was also a kitchen knife from Lishgale's home, which had been handled by numerous family members and guests. But the bottom line is that DNA evidence didn't do anything here because it wasn't valid, and it was the detective and the prosecutor's DNA. It was a bunch of nonsense, and they tried to lead people down a path. So her ask in the op-ed, and this is the ask for tonight, I think, as we say farewell to Marcellus Williams and put that needle in his arm that's well-deserved. He says, I'm asking all of those who cling to unsupported claims of innocence, media outlets unable to resist sensational stories. That's you, the Post-Dispatch, where your own employee was brutally murdered. It's shameful that you've treated it this way. Pretend scientists speculating on DNA evidence and misinformed pundits to recognize that for the families of victims to consider that this is not about their beliefs, viewpoints, supposition, or speculation. For us, it is deeply and painfully personal. As I said then, this is not closure. This is chaos. Now, more than a quarter century later, the chaos has been compounded and a grieving family still waits. Tonight is when that grieving family finally gets some closure with the needle in Marcellus Williams' arm, which is well deserved and well overstated at this point. Should have happened 20 years ago. We're back in a moment.
Get more at 971talk.com.